Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Providing Houston sports radio excellence for 14 years and counting. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hey, welcome back. My doc just texted and he said, yeah, you're going to have a Carlos appreciation. You're going to have a Stromy appreciation. You need to have a Luno appreciation. This was all built by Luno.
It was. I mean, the core was.
Listen.
Luis Garcia was at a... Luno, was he drafted and came up through the minors through the draft?
Yeah.
I mean, it was probably Luno. I mean, Click's only been here 2 years.
Yeah, center field was a problem. He said, well, what about center field? I said, Click's moves were great. Listen, if it wasn't for Maton, and Stromy even said it, and Stromy knows a little bit more about pitching than I do, just a little bit. He said the bullpen help that they got, that they picked up with Graveman, with Maton, with Yimi, I mean, they could not have been better in the postseason. Graveman, Yimi was spectacular this postseason, and so was Maton. So those moves actually paid off. And I'll take Maton in the postseason over what Miles Straw would have given you in center field. And you know what? But part of it is, why didn't he get somebody before the season started for center field? That's true. But in Atlanta, anyway, you had to play the three of them. Yordan had to play, Brantley had to play, and Tucker had to play.
Well, you can't,
so you would have been in a...
But you need to develop young... You have young players who
can play
there.
And Jake Myers doesn't get hurt. You might be better.
And they're cheap. You have to have some cheaper developmental guys. You can't just go get somebody at every position. The Astros have a loaded lineup. You need young players who are inexpensive, who you have club control over. That's part of baseball, too. And, I mean, that's kind of nitpicking that you don't have the perfect center fielder. Look who you've got on the corner fields. Look who's at third. Look who's at first. Look who's at second. Look who's at short. It's like, it's a team full of all-stars.
But his point was, that was all Luno guys. Every one of them.
But that's accurate.
Yeah, right. Who's up first? Who you got? Aaron? Who'd you say you wanted to get? Raymond. All right, let's get Raymond in here. Hey, Raymond.
Hey, good morning, fellas. I just want to say congratulations to the Atlanta Braves, and the Astros are just having an awesome season. It was tough for the fans, but I tell you what, man, this morning coming to work and just thinking about all my brothers in the Houston Fire Department, one of the best things we don't have to look at is our mayor holding that trophy in one of our fire trucks, so... Just shout out to all my brothers in the fire department today. I'm happy we don't have to see that. But go Astros. We'll get them next year.
I guess the firemen have beef with Sylvester?
Yeah, they didn't get paid the way they wanted
to. Yeah, I guess so.
I get it.
I get that.
No, but making the call all about, thank goodness they don't get a host. Like, okay.
Shout out to your brothers and
firefighters. My son's going to be a firefighter, so I don't hate it.
Hey, that was fun. That was a fun season. You know what? They brought us right to the brink, to the precipice of a championship. You want that or you want Texans? Which one you want, people?
Yeah, well, why does it have to be either one? Why does it have to be those two?
Well, but that's what we got. That's all we got.
Oh, I know.
That's all we got.
That's what makes me sad.
And the Rockets. I mean, they're 1-6 now. What the hell?
Whoa. Let's pump the brakes. I tweeted this out last night. There are two teams in this city now that are worth rooting for between now and April.
Cougs
football?
Yep.
Cougs basketball.
Oh, and yeah.
Cougs football has one home game left. It's a Friday night. There's no reason that place shouldn't be packed.
Absolutely.
It's something to actually watch. It's fun.
And
it's competitive.
How about they had 25? I was proud of Coug fans. I know it was 25,000, but there was a heads up against the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so that was nice. And you know what? You're right. It's a Friday night, and it should be packed. Next up, let's get Ben in here. Hey, Ben, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I just had to ask a question. In full discretion, I moved here from Atlanta a few years ago. I'm a Braves fan. My wife is a Stros fan. So I just had the best night of sleep ever on the couch. But I wanted to know what you guys thought about possibly comparing the 2017 to now Astros to the 90s Braves. I'll just hang up and listen.
Yeah, it's getting close to that, isn't it? I mean, you got one championship. Of course, it was tainted and blah, blah, blah,
that's what
blah.
I think.
But
I
mean, you know what? They're getting there every year. They're doing it differently. You know, Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox was mostly pitching. This has been mostly hitting. This has been a great lineup. The pitchers were good, but they've been running through here. Those guys were the mainstays for all those years with the Braves. Yeah, it's getting close to that. It really is. The Astros dominate their division every year. They get to the ALCS. They're getting to more. You know, the Braves got to World Series too. They just couldn't get over the top. I think it's a pretty good comp.
It's felt that way. I mean, it was, if they didn't win this immediately, it's been something we've talked about in the past. This is what the Braves did, and I'd rather do that than the alternative, which is we've seen the alternative for the Astros, complete rebuilds. We've seen, you know, kind of the purgatory stage of the Rockets before in the past. I would rather be competing for a World Series on a consistent basis and struggle to find answers than not be in the dance. We won't be in the dance.
Yeah.
And if it's going to be the Braves, then be the Braves. At least they're relevant for a decade. I mean, the Astros are more than relevant right now. They've been relevant since 2015.
Yeah.
When they came on the scene as a young core team. And, I do think that Jim Crane, at some point, though, it's, I guess you can keep doing a model of build them up and let them go, build them up and let them go, and pick and choose who you're going to sign. It's going to be the way. You can't sign them all. It's not going to be, the baseball's too expensive. They're not going to sign them all. Tell you what's going under the radar is there's going to be a big collective bargaining agreement. There's a big battle in the business of baseball coming up this offseason. And there is a chance that owners say, okay, this is out of control. We are not experiencing the financial growth that matches the salaries. And we could see some stoppage in play next year. This is behind. I was listening to a discussion about this over the weekend, and there's some people who believe this is going to be pretty dire because baseball owners are going to take a big stand this offseason. We're sitting here in a bubble in Houston with a great young team, a competitive team, 5 straight ALCS. There's a lot of cities out there who have really given up on baseball because their teams are not factors ever. And they think that the system is, if owners think the system is fundamentally broken, they may go hard into this next collective bargaining agreement.
Here's a good point. More like the Oakland A's of the late 80s. First of all, they cheated with all the steroids. Secondly, they won one World Series. They were at 3 straight. They got beat by the Dodgers with Kirk Gibson.
Yeah,
they beat the Giants in the earthquake, and then they lost to the Reds, got swept by Barry Larkin's Reds.
I see that, but this team is more built to last. I mean, 5 straight ALCS. You got Hall of Fame pitchers who have pitched here, Hall of Fame players on this team. Who are the great Hall of Famers from that team?
Kent Seiko and McGuire.
Yeah, one's not a Hall of Famer, and neither are Hall of Famers. That's it. I mean,
we're really more Braves.
Pretty
good team.
We're really more Braves, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Really good lineup. Really
it's
good.
It's lasted
good
longer
pitching.
Too. You're right. Since 15, they gave the Royals all they could handle in that series.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
And
the Royals went on to win it. And then 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah.
This is more Braves.
And you know
the
what? They're
going to
win again.
The
Listen, the sky was falling last year when Springer left. And the sky's falling again now that Correa's gone. And you know what?
And
the
Strom.
Astros are going to be back in it next year.
Well, you mean Correa and Strom.
Well, right, but maybe they learned something from these young guys that are going to take over. Maybe they learned something from Strami. Or did you think they were just sitting there the whole time?
No, they might.
Yeah.
No, they might.
I mean,
we put a lot on Strom as being the greatest baseball coach, period, that's ever lived.
Wouldn't you want to learn from that guy for years?
Absolutely.
Yeah. 809 ESPN, Gary's next. What's up, Gary?
Hey guys, just want to say, obviously, a good season, made it to the World Series. Super disappointed. As far as Correa, I really feel like he's 100% gone. And the one thing that crossed my mind last night is that 2019 really hurt. Like, that team was completely loaded, and we missed that opportunity. This team, when McCullers went down, it was always going to be an uphill battle. So, proud of the guys, but, you know, we'll bounce back next year, and then hopefully we're able to fill a career spot with some good pitching and some bullpen guys.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that one was much more I thought that team was much more built to win. You had Cole and Verlander, and yeah, I mean, you were top heavy, but holy crap, that rotation, if you'd had that again this year, holy crap, you'd have just dominated. Yeah, that was very the game seven, you're 8 outs away, and you can't hold on to it because you make a dumb decision. I mean, yes, that was that to me, that was a lot more disappointing. 7-0 in game six, when you this rotation. I mean, you were built up. You were really. This was a house of cards with this staff. You had to depend on a bullpen that was going into the playoffs. Remember what we thought of this bullpen? I mean, it was a disaster.
They really stepped up.
They really.
Other than yesterday, there was a couple like game three against the White Sox, the game two against the Red Sox. Like we know the games where
but
they
for the most
or no game.
Part.
I'm sorry, game two and game three against the Red Sox. But for the most part. You were
awesome.
Able to survive a terrible lineup because of your bullpen. And listen.
Did they not overachieve?
Listen, the starting pitching and the bullpen gave you amazing opportunities to win game four.
Yep.
Or game three and game four. Mm-hmm. Well, you won. Wait.
Game three, you didn't do much offensively at all. Ian Anderson shut you down.
Oh, no, game four and game five.
Yeah.
Game four and game five. Yeah, by the time it got to Javier. But back-to-back solo home runs shouldn't have buried you.
No.
You left seven men on base in the first three innings.
And there was a Mr. Yeah. I'm like, oh, he brought in Brooks Raley. And, oh, really? That lost the game? You lost 3-2. Javier gives up back-to-back, and you're talking about Brooks Raley. And, oh, by the way, score more than two runs.
Two runs?
Against this Braves offense.
Yeah, two runs. I would have taken one yesterday.
No, well,
you caught a zero yesterday. And, you got shut out in the elimination game.
You got shut out in game three.
Somebody said something about who let James Harden, you know, step in and put an Astros uniform on. That was kind of Harden-y.
Yeah, it was.
An elimination game, James.
Yeah, it was.
That was an elimination game, James. Like 14 turnovers.
Didn't even show
against the war. 13 against the Warriors. Like, oh my God! I remember Snacks. That was years ago. Snacks was younger. This is a world record turnovers. Snacks, I think it is a world. This is a world record pop-ups for the Astros. They've set world records.
All right. 812 ESPN.
Like, seriously, how do you pop it up that much? How do you have so many flyouts between the midpoint of the infield and the outfield all the way into the infield? How do you pop out to shallow third base, to deep third base or shallow second base that much?
It happened against the Red Sox, too, because I pointed it out to my wife.
Yeah, they watched just this series.
This entire playoff run was just pop. Like, stop swinging at the high fastball that you're clearly not going to catch up to.
It's time to fire Cintron and move on.
It is.
Just kidding.
All right, it's time to talk about Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats. How about he did it yesterday again, giving away a $150 tailgate? I mean, it's unbelievable how
good
this guy is.
He'll just be listening sometime.
Yeah, and go, hey, give away $150. Huh? Okay. All right. For our listeners, you're the beneficiaries of the best butcher that I honestly, the best butcher I've ever seen.
Best in the game.
It is. He is the best in the game, Michael, and everybody over there. And he's got a bunch of elves over there that are, as soon as you get in there, yes, sir, what can I get for you? Make up the tri-blend. I'm going back for the tri-blend today. I had the Wagyu last time. Uh-huh. I'm going back for the tri-blend the burgers because I honestly think, I mean, it's hard. But I think the tri-blend may be the best burger that I've ever had in my life. And if you're looking for that kind of and Mike just said, you know what we're going to do? Let's put this great meat, this great beef. Let's put all these great beefs together. Oh, and then we'll ground it up and we'll make a burger out. What? Thank you. However big you like your chops, they'll cut it for you. However, you get the chicken.
Spatchcock chicken is great. They cut your steak. Well, they got the steaks already there, but if you want to do something different, they can do that for you. And you know what? If you want to try one of these great burgers that we're always telling you about, they got a deli in there where they actually have a cooktop. They'll make the burger for you. It's, you know, you can try it before you buy it if you want to. Just have that burger in there. Just buy a burger for yourself. And if you want to get the whole vacuum pack, the big old package of them, they can do that for you. All your needs. They have shrimp, chicken, pork for your tailgating, for your ribs, for your outdoor barbecue. It's Pete's Fine Meats, Chimney Rock in Richmond. Pete's Fine Meats.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Chase, I give Bregman props for talking about him having a terrible top hand at the plate because that's what causes all these pop-ups. However, nobody made any adjustments, and they're trying to play long ball way too much, causing pop-ups. Long ball? Altuve hit two. They suck.
They said they're trying to.
I don't know that. I think they just sucked. But it's Dusty's fault. So it's Dusty's fault. 818 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Hey,
before we get back to this, I want to mention trade deadline came and went without Deshaun Watson being traded. However, Charles Omenihu, who's been in a serious doghouse, and a guy, frankly, that I was told that JJ, he was one of the guys, JJ, when he had his little rant, there was like three defensive linemen, and Omenihu was one of them who just seemed to be more concerned about stuff not having to do with football, more about the gram and things like that. Like, you got to put your time into work. He was a fifth-round pick. The Texans traded him to the 49ers for a sixth-rounder in 2023. So they dealt Omenihu. They did not deal Brandon Cooks, and they did not deal Deshaun Watson. So Mark Ingram was traded for a late-round consideration to the Saints a few days ago. And then Charles Omenihu, who has been in a doghouse at a position, frankly, that has seen Jonathan Greener, former draft pick, play much better. He was dealt for a future sixth-round pick in 2023, and he was a fifth-rounder. How about putting this in perspective? Charles Omenihu gets you a sixth-rounder. Stephon Gilmore gets you a sixth-rounder. Whew. That doesn't feel right, but it also has to do with how much money each guy is paying
and things like that.
And then Odell Beckham Jr. I just want to say this quickly. I understand that national TV, one thing you'll recognize with national radio and television is they quote-unquote play, it's called play the hits in the business, right? They get the same topics over and over and over. It's going to be Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Dak Prescott, LeBron. There's just certain names that you know are going to pop up, and you gauge it on your interactivity based on your ratings and stuff, and that's why you get the same crap over and over and over. And so there's a mindset that goes on where, okay, these have to be the topics we always talk about. And somewhere along the line, Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ, has become this must-talk-about topic all the time. It's not always about the best. You know, Von Miller, frankly, is a much bigger topic, talking about Von Miller to the Rams. That deserves to be talked about. This weird infatuation that people have now with Odell Beckham Jr., he just can't play like he could anymore. I mean, he's come off of an ACL. He's not the same guy. Everything is just, well, it's Baker Mayfield.
Well, what about his dad put out the video of how when he was open, and Baker won't look at him?
Yeah, so his dad put that out, LeBron James, OBJ, free OBJ. OBJ is still wide receiver one.
Is he in LeBron's agency?
I don't know. I don't know if he is, but they're both. But LeBron is from Ohio. He's a Cleveland Brown. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're buddies, but he's like free OBJ, and OBJ is still wide receiver one, you'll see, or something like that. He's not. I don't, like, ESPN just couldn't stop talking about OBJ like he's a thing. Odell Beckham Jr. is not really a thing anymore.
Yeah.
He's not. I mean, he's just not. He doesn't get as much separation. He doesn't catch the ball as well as he used to. He hasn't been a thing for like 3 years. It's the weirdest thing to me that he is a national story that people talk. Deshaun, whether or not he'll be traded, that's a major national story. He's going to have an impact on a team. Odell Beckham Jr. hasn't had an impact on anybody in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so weird that ESPN, it's not just ESPN, Fox Sports, it's the national radio on ESPN. OBJ, guys, we got to get to some OBJ stuff. Okay. I mean, it's just, okay, what is he doing? What's he done? Just not really a factor anymore.
Yeah. No, he's not.
I mean, you saw it with, he's a highlight player. They like to go with the fact that he used to make highlights. Well, Clowney used to make highlights, and they did that for so many years, and then they finally realized, oh, maybe Clowney's not made for the NFL like we thought he was just going to come
point,
in and wreck shop.
At some point, the guy, and Odell will always have the catch. You know, he'll always have that. But the fact is, he's just not that great a football player. And sometimes you get more name than game where people get the recognition because it's a name brand and you're going to see it on national. You'll see it on national television, national radio. You'll hear it because those are the quote-unquote play the hits topics that you think you generate a lot of excitement. Like you'll see it a lot with the Stephen A. Smith show where he screams at each, you know, other people and then they scream back at him. Or when Shannon and Skip, which I like to call their formula over there, is like, okay, have former athlete with non-athlete,
right,
scream at each other.
Right.
And then they argue with each other. And then it has to be about the same topics over and over and over. Odell Beckham Jr. is just not that guy. And the trade deadline that was supposed to be so great, what a stinker. Broncos got Kerry Vincent for a sixth rounder from the he went to the Eagles from the Broncos. The Chiefs traded Laurent Duvernay-Tardif to the Jets for tight end Dan Brown. The 49ers got 2019, they got Charles Omenihu for a sixth rounder in 2023. The Chiefs got Melvin Ingram, that's kind of a big deal, for a 2022 sixth round pick. And Von Miller, obviously, was the big one, going for a second and third round pick. He went to the Rams. But
the NFL always
thought Brandon Cooks.
About trade deadlines always
I know it is, but I thought Brandon Cooks would be gone this year. I thought they would get rid of him.
Oh, they need him.
You know, do they?
Yeah. Well, now that Derrick Henry went down.
Oh, we're doing the door still open for the division.
Yeah, the division's wide open. Okay. You don't know that? King James, free OBJ, but keep my Nike shoemakers working. Don't, King James, LeBron, don't say free anybody. You know, what with those, with your manufacturers and the slave child labor and all that. Okay. LSU Bryant.
You don't know that Nike's still doing that.
You don't know they're not.
As I've got my Adidas on.
Yeah, you do. It's LSU Bryant time. What do you say, LSU Bryant?
What's going on, guys? I just, I want to go back to the Astros. I was pretty ticked off last night and how things ended, and that's kind of, I got a selfish reason I'm going to give you here in a second, but I agree with you, John. It after you sit back and, you know, look at the whole season, it's like, man, we get so spoiled around here, because you're in the World Series every other year, and you know you're a couple games or you're a couple games from it. So we're spoiled, man. And I'm just proud of these guys for getting this far with this rotation. The bats weren't going. It was like they were either on fire or there was nothing. So, but the reason I was so upset, and I was going to turn today in the throw shade Tuesday, is because my company was giving out tickets, and I won game 7 tickets for tonight. And man, they lost, and that's why I was upset last night. And so then I want to throw shade at the whole organization, all of them, because I don't get to go to my game 7 World Series on the company's dime. But
oh, damn it!
They do good, man.
Oh well. At least they thought of you that if there was a game 7, you know what? They think highly of you. Or did you win it? I forget. Did he say he won it?
Yeah, he won tickets from his company to go to game 7 tonight.
Oh, yeah, he won it.
So have fun at LSU Bryant. Have fun at the game.
So they didn't think anything of you, if you want to know the truth. You just won them. Oh, well, LSU Bryant.
What if he just shows up at Minute Maid Park at the gate and is like, hey, I got a ticket. There is no game 7. I don't care. I got a ticket. I want in.
We haven't mentioned, and we'll talk about it on the other side. Keith is... Keith wants to talk about Jordan. We can continue to do that. The college football playoff first rankings came out. We'll do that on the other side. 826 ESPN 97.5.
That one's going to be interesting. If that slipped by you, that is an interesting discussion.
That's very interesting. 713-780-3776. If you got any thoughts on that, you're more than welcome. But first, talk about your patio.
Yeah, and watched on Texas Custom Patios, watched the game, and then I was like, all right, I'm going in. Maybe I got to change up the mojo somewhere else. But my patio has become my sanctuary during this cool weather, during this beautiful weather. And we got more of it coming. It's going to be down the high tomorrow. I think it's going to be 59. We get a really good one. Another one where put a jacket on, you're in good shape. Having your outdoor patio, your outdoor kitchen, you can get it exactly to your specifications. But really what you do is you trust the experts at Texas Custom Patios. Go look at their before and afters, and you'll see that they have a vision for your outdoor space that is unlike anything you could come up with yourself. And it's not just where you look at it and you say, oh, yeah, I can tell this was added on. This looks like it was built onto the house when your house was built. That's how good they are. They match everything perfectly, and they truly upgrade your outdoor property so that it helps you live your best life. Your outdoor space turns into a sanctuary, and one that you can have for having friends come over, entertaining people, or just a space that you like to go. TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to the website for the before and afters. TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Hey, time to talk about Coors Light right now. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Yeah, it was playing cards. Yeah, it was the morning, but you know what? When you're playing cards, you're going to have cold, clean, crisp, refreshing. Then when you're having lunch, it's the official beer of lunch. And then when you're going to be flying, it's the official beer of flying. And then when you're watching the game, it's the official beer watching the game. It's kind of the official beer of everything. It's going to be a rainy day today. Sounds like it's the official beer of today, of rain. It sounds like it's the official beer of about everything I do. Make it your official beer. It's cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. It just doesn't get any better when your mountains are blue and you are like, oh, I need something refreshing right now. Oh, look, it's a cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. I love it. You'll love it too. Have you tried it? If you haven't, please do. If you have, I know you're loving it. It's cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll get you in here in a minute. But first, college football rankings. Georgia's number one, and there's no argument there. Georgia has been the best team in the country. And they play and continue to dominate. Georgia number one. Alabama is number two. And if you want to know the truth, that's probably the most accurate.
In real life. They are.
They lost to A&M.
We can play the games if you want.
You got to play the games. You got to win. You got to prove it on the field. But Alabama continues to prove it on the field. They play a harder schedule. They play an SEC schedule. They continue to dominate, and they're the second best. If I know we hate it. I don't want to see Alabama again. I just don't. I'm just tired. I'm tired of Nick Saban. I'm tired of his face. I'm tired of his little Debbies. I'm tired of everything. Okay? But you know what? They're the second best team. Michigan State, three. I don't know. You got any problem with Michigan State, three?
I don't. I actually don't. I was actually surprised to hear they were three.
Yeah, I was too. But they're three, and you know what? They deserve to be three.
I'm fine with it.
They just beat Michigan, which isn't easy. Oregon, number four at 7-1.
That was a big surprise to me. But they have played pretty good football. It's Pac-12, so it's under the radar.
I think this may be a nod. I don't know that the committee, they think about these things or whatnot. I don't know if this is a makeup call. In basketball, where you got to make up for all the times that you've slighted. The Pac-12 hasn't been there.
They haven't been good enough.
But it's a little homage to a conference that has really been, really been left behind. Hey,
of their own accord, they're not good enough.
No, that's true. It's true. Ohio State 5, which Ohio State's a pretty good football team. Now, early on they had their problems. They had a problem against Tulsa. And then they lost to Oregon, and they're number five. Cincinnati comes in number six. Now, I don't know who Andrea Adelson is. Andrea Adelson says this. The selection committee might pat itself on the back for putting Cincinnati higher than any group of five team in the playoff history, but the hypocrisy would be laughable if it was not so pathetic. When UCF went undefeated in 17 and 18, did not even come close to the top four, Bill Hancock told us if the Knights' non-conference schedule was just a little bit better, who knows what might have happened. Now, He says, Hancock said, look at 2016 Houston. They beat Oklahoma. They were ready to move in. They might have been a playoff team, but they stumbled in conference play. Okay. Cincinnati beat Notre Dame on the road. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati beat Indiana on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have certainly scuffled with Tulane and Navy. Those two games, they don't look like a playoff team. I get it. But they've done it on the field. They haven't stumbled. They haven't lost.
Notre Dame is number 10. Believe it or not, it was hard to believe.
Notre Dame has been really good. Notre Dame's
10. Indiana certainly is not in it. What's happened is Michigan State has gotten hot. Michigan has jumped them.
Yeah.
So Michigan has jumped them. Oregon, you know, if you really look at this,
has jumped who?
Michigan State has jumped Cincinnati in the perception poll, certainly. Right. When you look at Oregon, here's what Oregon has done. Oregon, they lost to Auburn. Okay.
Yeah, a really good, close, low-scoring game, right?
It's 27-21.
Yeah.
Then they crushed Nevada, whatever. They beat Montana by 32. They beat Fresno State, who is a top 25 team, at home by 7. They beat Ohio State on the road. Stony Brook, easy win. Arizona, pretty easy win.
They're terrible.
They won by 7 in overtime against Stanford, where Stanford had them beat, and Stanford choked that away. They beat Cal by 7 at home. They beat UCLA by 3 at UCLA. They smashed Colorado 52-29. They don't have, I mean, honestly, I'm a little surprised Oregon ended up jumping Cincinnati. Just because Cincinnati's a non-Power 5, I thought they would get a little bit more play.
Nobody's jumped anyone. This is the first one.
Well, no. Yeah, you're right. And win over Ohio State is going to win, especially in Ohio State, is going to mean a lot more than a win over Notre Dame.
No.
It just is.
Are you sure you got this right? They lost to Stanford. They didn't play Auburn. Are you sure you got Oregon?
No, I got August 24th. Was that last year?
Are you on the right?
No. They got – no, wait. Did they lose to
Stanford? They lost to Stanford, yeah. Yeah, what do you
– I thought Stanford was winning. Oh, no, you might be right. Hold on. Oregon football. Oh, no, I take it back. Yes, 31-24. I read 34.
They lost to Stanford, and Stanford has been getting beat.
Hold on a second. Oregon, Auburn. How many losses do the Ducks have?
The Ducks have one. And that's why they're number 4. What are you doing? Okay, let me get their schedule. What are you doing? Okay, so first.
They did a reverse order. Never mind. They have last year.
No. They beat Fresno. Then they beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
Stony Brook, Arizona. They lost to Stanford.
August 31st was last year.
They lost to Stanford. They beat Cal. They beat UCLA. And they beat Colorado.
Yeah.
So they haven't played off.
This is 2019. My bad. This is 2019. They rolled that up on the back end of 2021. Okay. I don't know why they did it that way.
So their loss is Stanford. Stanford has not been good. Okay. Stanford has been getting their ass handed to them. They lost to Arizona State. Stanford's got 5 losses, and that's Oregon lost to.
Oregon had Stanford beat. Oregon's the one who blew it, because I was listening on the radio. Oregon blew it to Stanford. Oregon had them. Well, they had them dead to rights, and somehow lost that game. Other than that, they have had some close ones against Cal, against UCLA, where UCLA, you know, certainly made a game of that one. But they still have a win against Ohio State on the road, and you can't take that away from them. You go on the road and you beat Ohio State.
Their loss came to a 5-loss Stanford team.
I know.
That's not good.
No. I'm telling you, I'm pretty surprised they made the top 4. That reeks of throwing a bone to the Pac-12.
Yeah, it is.
Well, they beat Ohio State, so we're just going to roll with that.
And you know what? Listen, we put you up there. You can't hold on to it. Sorry. We put you up there. We're trying to get it packed because you know what? The Pac-12 right now, or is it Pac-14, whatever it is, the Pac-12 right now is looking at the college football playoff and deciding whether or not, do we still want to be in this thing, or are we going to go with the Big Ten and we're going to go with the ACC and we're going to vote against this?
Here's how it played out, John.
Here's what the college football playoff did. Let's get Oregon.
Here's how it played out. They looked at Ohio State and Cincinnati and said, do we really think Cincinnati is better than Ohio State? No. Okay, let's move them ahead of that. We can't have Oregon ahead of Oregon. Ohio State, they beat Ohio State at Ohio State.
Right.
All right, well, they're 7-1. Pac-12, they got a great win. Let's make them 4. That whole, you can't put another team in front of a team that they lost to is what ended up, I think, Oregon. Because if you just went Oregon-Cincinnati head-to-head, I get that the win over Ohio State is better than the win at Notre Dame. I get that. And I get also that Cincinnati has not played great football against lesser opponents the last two. And I'm not a big believer. I'm fine with Cincinnati not being in the Final Four. I don't think they are one of the four best teams in football. However, I think they should be ahead of Oregon. And frankly, it probably should be two big right now. It probably should be two Big Ten, two SEC teams, if you really want to know the truth. It's probably Ohio State, Michigan State, Alabama, Georgia. Now, I think one of those Big Ten teams will be knocked out of there, obviously, at some point. So I think that's going to happen. I think Cincinnati's still sitting in a very good position to make the playoffs. Michigan being right behind them helps because Michigan had that bad loss. Oklahoma has a ton of non-convincing wins. And you got Wake Forest right there. I don't know if they're going to get a win that's going to vault them at any point. Like, what's going to be their exciting win at Wake Forest? They don't. There's not one they can possibly have. Notre Dame won't vault them.
Listen, Wake Forest Oklahoma is State playing won't. Really. Wake Forest offense is spectacular.
They're playing great.
They're playing great.
I don't think
you know
they
what?
Can
they go to Clemson to finish up. They go to Clemson and to Boston College to finish up the season. Those two wins. Now Clemson has not been great shakes, but if they win, if they win out, and they win their championship game, I don't think there's any way you can keep the ACC champ undefeated out of this playoff.
You mean ahead of? They're in a 9 spot right now, ahead of Cincinnati. If the Cincinnati
you're
goes undefeated,
have to, yes, the ACC champ over Cincinnati, absolutely. But if they're undefeated,
how can you jump them though?
You can absolutely can jump them with a win at Clemson.
Okay,
name a Cincinnati win that's going to from here until here's the end
who,
of the season.
Here's who Ohio State has. They have Michigan State and Michigan. Ohio State would need to beat Michigan State, eliminate them, and then lose to Michigan. I think if Ohio State wins out, Ohio State's getting in. Ahead of Wake.
I'm telling you, I think that Wake is the only reason Wake is 9 is because they're named Wake Forest. If you look at the way the Wake Forest has played and how they can light it up, I'm telling you, Wake Forest has a chance to really jump if they go undefeated and then win their championship game. Wake Forest has a real chance to get in this thing.
I just don't know who are they going to beat.
How about Luke Fickell's response on his radio show? Gary Barta said that Cincinnati hasn't beaten anyone besides Notre Dame. Fickell said, "Who's the chairman? Did he play football?" And Fickell then said, "What's your reaction about it?" He said, "Is it disappointing? No, not really. Is it exciting? No, not really. There's a lot of ball left. I just think Cincinnati's going to get squeezed. And oh, by the way, I think Houston's going to beat Cincinnati anyway. Houston's going to beat them in the championship.
Cincinnati
game.
Still has a game against SMU. They got Tulsa. They got South Florida. They got East Carolina. No big deal." SMU will be a good test, the 20th. Then they're going to have Houston, as long as Houston does their job. So I don't know that Wake, they've got more name brand teams. None of them are top 25 who they're playing. ACC is not a heavy duty conference.
Wins at Clemson, at Boston College,
year.
And then a championship game win. I don't see how you keep the ACC.
Cincinnati's
camp up.
Win against Duke, against Notre Dame, is better than any win that Wake is going to have. That win against Clemson means pretty much nothing now.
Clemson's still a decent football team.
Stinks.
Clemson, no, they're still a decent football team. They're still a decent football team. I mean, they're not great.
Decent's all you can say.
No. But the rest of Cincinnati's schedule is really hurting them. Look, they're sixth. They're undefeated. They went and won at Notre Dame and Indiana, and they're still sixth. I'm telling you, I think Wake has got a shot here. We'll see. 8:43.
Well, both of them need teams to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, two teams, Michigan State, you would think Michigan State, Ohio State, they play each other, so somebody's going to move backwards. But who's to say
you're going to have a real problem, though. You take a one-loss Oregon that lost to five-loss Stanford over an undefeated Wake Forest team.
Well,
you're
going to
have a real problem.
They're not jumping. Just because they beat four unranked teams down the finish line,
yeah.
That's not going to jump Pat. That's not going to jump Oregon.
I don't know. Going to Clemson will mean something. Beating Clemson at Clemson will mean something. Well, 843 ESPN 97.5. All you got to do right now is think about this. I needed a plumber the other day, and it turns out I just had to press a different button to get the disposal working. That's all it is. I'm not really a plumber per se.
Did they make trip out there to tell you that?
No, okay, I was able to cancel them.
Yeah.
My wife had a handyman come over, and he was like, "Yeah, that's all you got to do is this." Oh, okay. Never mind. So, anyway, That's me, though. I don't know anything about plumbing. I don't know anything about pipes and all this stuff. Listen, hot water heaters, different expanding pipes under this is all
technical
stuff.
You're proving it right now that you don't know anything.
Basically, I flush the toilet. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's about the extent of my knowledge.
Water on, water off.
That's it.
Yeah.
Turn the water. Hey, the hot water isn't great. So, you know what? You call Aqueduct Plumbing. Aqueduct Plumbing is here for you with a free estimate. They'll come to your home absolutely free. Not have something wrong, not like me, where absolutely nothing was wrong. Hopefully, you have something wrong. And you call them, or you go to thebenchplumbing.com. And they'll come to your home absolutely free, and they'll give you that free estimate, which is awesome. And then they'll do the work.
They do everything. I mean, and they're a company you can trust, and that's the big thing. When you deal with plumbers, you want somebody you can trust because, you know, as John just showed you, he knows nothing. So what was he going to do? Somebody could have come out there and said, oh, we found your problem here, knowing full well, oh, my God, he didn't push that button. You know, we found your problem here. It's only going to be $265, and John would have paid it. Not at Aqueduct. They'd tell you to push the button, too. TheBenchPlumbing.com. That's how you get to Aqueduct Plumbing Company, thebenchplumbing.com. Now you've got a guy.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 849 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the numbers. Keith has been waiting. Let's get him in here. What do you say, Keith? Keith, you there? No? 3, 2, 1. Sorry. He wanted to talk about Jordan in the postseason. I thought, man, remember when Correa got the bloop hit? Jordan swung with the first pitch, and it was like did you see his swing? It was like, I'm trying to put bat on ball. We were talking with Chase, was like, they were all, Jordan was the exception, I think, of over swinging and trying to hit homers and trying to be heroes and everything else. Jordan was just trying to, and such a defensive swing, easy double play ball, and it was like, Jordan, you're a beast. Go up there.
Everything was soft contact other than a couple of hard foul balls. Whole series, he was soft contact when he was.
Yeah.
He had 6 strikeouts. It wasn't like he was punching out. He had a good eye. He had 5 walks. So he's getting on base and scored some runs. Like, he wasn't completely useless from that standpoint. But my gosh, he didn't even hit the ball hard. He didn't even hit the ball hard. And Jordan was, he was a big, big problem because the guy was such a monster this series. Before, you go in thinking, okay, heart of the lineup, we got Correa and you got, Bregman, you weren't really all the way in on Bregman. You say, okay, we got Altuve, we got Uncle Mike. But I'll tell you what, the Atlanta Braves did a great job of getting lefties on Michael Brantley because it seemed like every time he was at the plate, there was a lefty on him. It's like, God, can Brantley see one right-hander? Every time Brantley's up,
He's a bunch of
because every time he's up, you know, they're stacking their pitching staff.
But they got Will Smith lefty, Minter lefty, Matzik lefty,
Freed
lefty. I mean, it seems like
whenever he came up, it's like you knew there was going to be a lefty because they're thinking, okay, 2 and 4 left-handers, we're for sure going to get a lefty in here. And there's a big difference. Jordan usually hits lefties well. Brantley, there's a massive difference this year between his righty and lefty production and for his career, but this year was really, really substantial. So I understand we're going to get to the calls. 1 second. I want you to listen to Dusty Baker. We are going to talk about all the things that went wrong for sure. That's just what we're going to do. And that's understandable. But Dusty Baker has another little message for you.
I mean, in the dugout, I mean, the guys, you know, still thought we had a chance. You know, I mean, because nobody else might have thought we had a chance. But, you know, like you get a walk and another walk, a hit, a boom, boom, boom. And so, you know, these guys didn't cash it in at all. I mean, that this is, you know, there's no give up in these guys. So it's okay. Like I said, you know, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. No, they will be back.
They'll be back.
They'll absolutely, even without Carlos Correa. You know what? They'll be back. This is a good team. Still a good team. I am a little worried about Bregman. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. So here's his contract. I looked at the contract. He got $33.26 million this year. Signing bonus, $17.3 million. They've got, if as long as SpotTrack's correct, you know what he makes next year?
30.
11. Is that possible? Is that correct?
No, it's base.
They've got base. Well, that's all they've got is total cash, $11 million next year, followed by 28.5, 28.5. Is that possible?
Oh, he goes up to 28.5 after next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that is possible.
Well, that should be the Correa year. Look at how much money will be available. And granted, it's not about that, but
well, Correa is going to be long-term.
Yeah, I know. In theory, you say, okay, wow, Alex Bregman goes down $6.3 million in base salary next year. Verlander's off the books. Greinke's out because Verlander will be off the books. He's just going to make a qualifying offer.
You don't
look
at it like that, though.
Greinke's going to be off the books. Carlos Correa talked about the negotiating during the season. He had an interesting comment.
I want to say thank you to Jim and James and the whole organization for respecting what I said in spring training. Once the season started, I went no part of any talks, negotiation, and they totally respected that. And now I'm a free agent. Obviously, we're going to have some conversation, and we'll see where it goes. But I'm thankful that they respected what I told them in spring training.
Yeah. Yeah, so Bregman is, he's 12-6. He counts 20 against the luxury tax next year.
Oh, luxury tax.
Yeah, but then he's 30-30. But that's come due because he took less. I mean, look at how you've had Bregman for pretty cheap. I guess pretty cheap.
No, it's pretty cheap.
Based on
his production. Well, this year he made 11.
Well, no, but trending, you're going to have to pay him 30. Bregman better step up and be a lot better than he was this year.
Hey, what do you think about what do you think about dealing him? Somebody brought that up, and typically I'd say no. But what do you think about the thoughts of getting out of that contract?
Well, who's going to pay
him? If you think mentally.
Wait a minute. That Bregman that you saw this year, who's going to pick up 11, 30, and 30? Who's going to pick up 12, 30, and 30?
It depends on if a team just says, look, if you say, hey, I've got a weak top hand, my wrist is hurt. I know they did talk about it yesterday on the broadcast. That's why he's been popping up. If you look at the body of work, Alex Bregman's a really good hitter. You look at this year, something's off with the swagger. And
he's got to be hurt hitting. Or something.
Something's off. Maybe it's just the marriage thing. And then when you go to 20, I mean, Molly Knight is very obnoxious, can be very obnoxious. She had an article where she talked about, and I don't disagree with this. She said, since the revelation of the cheating stuff, it's almost like Alex Bregman has died of sheer embarrassment and that he's a shell of himself. And that's not inaccurate. That's what I feel like I've seen. It's the first time I saw a writer write that, but it is true. That's what Alex Bregman feels like, is he was so embarrassed by all that stuff, being the face of it. And there's something that he's lost. And you hate to give up on a corner fielder who's a good defensive player. He's got some pop. But the Bregman this year didn't have a lot of pop, but 12, what was the total home runs? 12, and he was hurt this year also. We know the quad injury, bothered him for a while. But I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world if you had a secondary plan like signing Carlos Correa. If you said, look, if we can move Bregman, can we afford to get to a number that will make Carlos happy? It's the only way you could possibly do it.
I'm telling you, I think the only problem with Carlos is the number of years. That's the problem. I don't think Jim Crane's afraid. As a matter of fact, I know he's not afraid to pay him over 30. He just doesn't want that length of deal. That's it.
But 8 at 34?
I don't think he's not doing
it's 8. It's got to get to 300 million.
His longest contract extension has been 5. Altuve, Bregman both got 5 years. That's what he does.
Can you imagine if Bregman was a 10-year deal?
Oh, my gosh. Now? No. That's why he doesn't do it. That's
what I'm saying. We get emotional about the Carlos thing. We get emotional about guys you want to see kept. Can you imagine right now if Springer got a super long deal? Can you imagine if Bregman was sitting here with a super long deal?
6 was too much for Springer. 6 was too much.
At his age, yeah.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if you were looking at not just 11, 28-5, 28-5, but then another 32, and then a 31 and a 33.5 still on the books. Can you imagine if that's what you were looking at for Bregman, looking down the barrel of 5 more years? It would seem terrifying right now based on what you see. So I get that emotionally we all want to see Carlos stay, and I'm going to pay that man $34 million a year. And just do what you have to do, Crane. Just do. But then all those people will slink into, you know, and I'll include myself. I really would stop at 7, but you slink into the bushes like the Homer Simpson meme. You know, if Carlos ends up not being able to hit and you're on the hook for all this money, like all the people pay that man, they're like, into the bushes. Let me go delete that tweet that I had. Because then you're on the hook and you can't get rid of those guys.
Nope.
And that's the concern about those super long-term deals is they're fairly new, but Pedro Martinez, just way too many dead years. Albert Pujols, I think a disaster.
You said yourself just now, Bregman, you gave him a 5-year extension, and you're like, I don't know.
Can you imagine, seriously, if you had, instead of 3 years left, if you had 5 years left the way he's playing right now?
No,
can you imagine that?
No. That's why I don't know that this makes much business sense, but here's the deal.
Does it make business sense?
Here's the problem, Bregman? Though. You ain't going to be able to sign any big name free agents ever here unless you give out those long term deals.
I know.
That's it.
Well,
going.
But that's why it's going to be important for you to start to think about how you're going to build your team then.
Yep. All right, Wayne, you're first, and then we got Keith and Mike. We'll get them in here. 859 ESPN 97.5. Right now I'm talking about the Chastangs and Chastang Ford and being part of the Chastang family, and that's exactly what you'll be. And you're going to feel like family. I'm telling you, it wasn't just because, and I know the Chastangs, this is how they treat everybody. And I have sent, I can't tell you how many people over there to them, and the service, the way that they handle you, the kit gloves, how hard they work for you and your deal. I've not talked to anyone that had a bad experience. There's no bad experience at Chastang Ford because it starts with the leadership at the top. And Patrick says, first of all, we want you to be comfortable in your payments. So that's number one. Let's make sure that you're where you can afford so that it doesn't hurt you. It's a car. You need this. Secondly, we're not going to add anything on. You get the car that you want with exactly what you want in it, and we're not going to try to upsell you. They don't do that ever. It's the philosophy. It's their business model. And then third is the service. And it'll tell you when you're the number one commercial Ford dealer in the city of Houston that you give the best service as well. So if you're looking for the service, you're looking for the best people, and you're looking for the best deal that you'll find, go to ChastangFord.com, and you can do it all at home. Or you can get to 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.